Counselor Waldrop, you have reserved 3 minutes of your time for rebuttal. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
May it please the court. There can be no doubt that the parties had at least three claim construction disputes over claim scope.
Can I just get right to it? So let's get to docking port, which I think seems central to this case. And assuming you preserved your O2 micro challenge, what construction of docking port do you now want?
It is the same construction that we advanced at Markman, the alternative construction from docking port, which was hardware and or software that enables a wired or wireless connection.
What does that mean? How is that defining a docking port?
That is consistent with the claim language.
No, tell me what a docking port is.
A docking port is hardware or hardware and or software that allows for a wired or wireless connection between the mobile device and the mobile set-top box.
Okay, so we're talking about a connection between the mobile device and the mobile set-top box.
Yes, Your Honor.
Right, and but that's not in your construction. Your construction just stops at wireless connection. It doesn't describe what the connection is between.
The docking port is hardware and or hardware software that allows for a wired
or wireless
physical connection.
I get this.
Or a wireless connection.
Between the device and the docking station.
Docking port. The claims, Your Honor, recite a mobile set-top box comprising a docking port configured to receive a mobile.
So the wireless connection is between the docking port and the mobile device.
Yes, Your Honor. And the docking port is a part of the mobile set-top box
with
a wireless connection.
I get all that. Here's my problem is where is the docking port and where is the connection when this is, because your specification seems to suggest that that can all be done in one device.
Yes, Your Honor. The claims are not limited to that, Your Honor, and the specification is not limited to that. So, Your Honor, the claim in column 5, line 64 through column 62.
But I get that. Can you just tell me, when it's all in one device, when there's not a separate mobile device and a separate station that contains the docking port, where is the docking port in that all-in-one device? And where is that wired or wireless connection?
When the docking port and the mobile device are integrated, there is no such connection necessary between the mobile device and the docking port and the mobile set-top box. When they're integrated, the mobile device and the mobile set-top box are integrated, there is no such connection necessary.
So there's no docking port?
There is a docking port, but it's inside the mobile device. And
what's docking inside of the mobile device?
It's integrated. It's integrated.
How do you call that docking?
Oh, the docking doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be physically connected. It has
to be. Look, I'm not going to hide my cards here. I don't think that the all-in-one device you're describing is claimed. It's in your specification, but I don't see it as claimed in these claims. And I think you're trying to twist the words of docking port to cover the Roku device. And I don't understand how the plain meaning of docking and your claims, which said accept a mobile device into a docking port, cover an integrated device where there's no docking going on. And there, you just said there's no wired or wireless connection in that.
There is a wired connection. There is a wired connection when the two devices are combined.
Yeah, no, I get this.
Right.
I think your friend on the other side would be very happy to give you the claim construction of two separate devices that are connected either wired or wirelessly.
Yes.
Right? Because they're still infringed that.
Yes.
They only infringe if it covers an integrated device, but I don't understand why an integrated device has a docking port that internally connects a mobile device with a station. It sounds like it's just a station that connects directly to the internet.
No, Your Honor, that's actually the confusion. That was not the issue at trial and not the issue during Markman. Their issue was, does a mobile device that connects wirelessly to a mobile set-top box without a physical connection, their position was that does not infringe the claims. Their position was the mobile device and the mobile set-top box have to be physically connected to infringe. But the dependent claims of the patent, claims 21 and 53, specifically discuss a wired or wireless connection. So their interpretation reads out a wireless connection whereby I have my mobile device with no connection to a docking port.
How does their device infringe?
Their device infringes because I have my mobile device with video content on it. I want to cast that video content from my mobile device, my mobile phone, to the mobile set-top box to a display device. That is exactly what the claims cover. Their position.
No, I understand that's what the claims covered. I thought the Roku boxes don't connect to a mobile device. They just connect to the internet.
No, they actually do connect to a Roku to a mobile device because I have to be able to cast, right? Cast and send data from my mobile device, video content, to the Roku player or Roku stick from my mobile device, which then appears on the display device.
Okay, is that a functionality? Because a lot of Roku devices just connect to your Wi-Fi network without a mobile device.
Yes, but this is not claiming that. This is claiming casting from a mobile device, not from the Roku player, from the Roku player navigating the Roku player. This functionality talks about casting video content, be it from the internet or from your phone or mobile device to the Roku player to appear on the display device. That is the accused functionality. That
okay.
is what's claimed.
So
that's what infringes.
Can I just clarify then? If all we were talking about was a Roku device that connects directly to a wireless network through Wi-Fi or whatever other means, through cell phone capability, and there is no mobile device involved, that wouldn't be covered by your claims.
The ability, claim one would, you're right, Your Honor, it has to have a mobile device input. Yes, Your Honor, we're claiming casting from your mobile device.
Okay, because I think that just started to complicate things for me. What if their device doesn't connect through Wi-Fi, but it connects through cell phone capacity? So there's no separate mobile device, but you would consider this all-in-one box a mobile device itself. But there's nothing, there's no separate thing casting to the Roku. It is the Roku connects through a cell phone signal and gets video content and then shows it to the TV.
Your Honor, the claims of this patent are focused on a mobile set-top box that has a mobile device input in which the mobile device casts through. So the claim, the limitation, the infringement theories presented at trial all went to mobile devices.
Okay. I just want to clarify because the briefing in this case was utterly confusing to me, particularly because the specification includes this integrated box. But it sounds to me that I've gone down a rabbit hole that I didn't need to go down looking at this integrated device.
No, Your Honor. You do not need to focus on the integrated device. The integrated device is irrelevant to what happened at trial and what the central issue is in this case.
Counselor, I have a couple of questions, and they go to your O2 micro challenge. And when I look at the record, I see that there's various points where you could have sought a supplemental construction, but you did not do that. And in fact, the only point that you raise a challenge to a construction-related challenge is that your motion for a new trial. Is that, do I have that right?
No, Your Honor. That's not what happened, Your Honor. We proposed alternative constructions for every term, including the docking port term, which was the term we just discussed.
That's the beginning. You proposed alternative, but after that?
After that, we filed a Daubert at a mill at pretrial disputing Roku's attempt to incorporate.
But did you request a supplemental construction at that time?
We asked for clarification. We pointed out that the claim constructions that Roku was presenting had been rejected specifically by the district court at Markman. So the same constructions that they were presenting at trial and doing pretrial briefing had been specifically rejected by the district court. We won that Daubert. We then objected at trial. Those objections were sustained and overruled. We then had a mini Markman because we were in a COVID situation, Your Honor. So the pandemic and the circumstances led to the error because we couldn't object as fulsomely. There were no sidebars. The court refused or declined to resolve the O2 micro dispute before the jury came in. So we had to object slide by slide. So what occurred was a mini Markman on the docking port issue in front of the jury. That is what happened. We objected slide by slide. And in fact, what it's telling, Your Honor, is Roku filed a supplemental claim construction brief on docking port at trial after their expert had taken the stand and advanced rejected claim constructions. The district court overruled it. We were prepared to fulsomely respond to it.
Where would I look to find your objection to the specific objection that you raised in your motion for a new trial? Where would I find that in the record, either at trial or prior to trial?
Your Honor, you could find the Daubert rulings, Your Honor. You could find that.
I want your specific objection, not the Daubert ruling.
Oh, the specific objections, Your Honor, were found at, if you were to look at APX 4941, which is 6720 through 25, APPX 5537, if you could look at our brief 22, the district court even acknowledged, Your Honor, that in the future that it needed to be more careful with rejected claim constructions.
What brief at 22?
Our brief at 22, Your Honor. Our brief at 22, Your Honor.
No, which brief? The one you filed in this case?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about below.
Yes, sir. The appellant brief, Your Honor. Is that the one you're talking about or the one below?
No, I'm talking about the before the district court.
Your Honor, if you were...
What are the objections that you raised?
In the briefing of a new trial? I'm pointing to the record that's cited in the briefing before this court, Your Honor. There are citations in the briefing there, and I'm referring...
Not the briefing before this court, sir. I'm talking about where in the trial below, before the district court, did you raise objections that you later raised in your motion for a new trial?
Yes, Your Honor. APPX 6324 through
6324?
APPX 6324 through 6326.
Would you have anything more specific? That's a lot of pages.
APPX 6223 at 5 lines 1 through 15. This is right before Roku's expert took the stand. We requested clarification from the court. So APPX 6233 at page 5 lines 1 through 15. We indicated to the court that there was confusion regarding the claim construction and that if the court did not clarify, justice would not be achieved. This is cited in our briefing in block quotes where we raised this issue with the court. The court even acknowledged that Roku's slides at that time were problematic and they looked like they were from a Markman hearing rather than for trial. But the court said that it was not going to relitigate claim construction at that time and we were going to have to object slide by slide.
Well, why is this an O2 micro problem? Because the construction you're arguing for is the construction the district court gave it, right?
The O2 micro problem is because the claim construction that was allowed to be advanced by Roku precluded claim scope that was specifically claimed in the patent, claims 21 and 23.
That wasn't the claim construction adopted by the district court in governing the trial. I mean, O2 micro is when there is no claim construction given and there should have been one. Here, the district court made clear what the scope was.
Your Honor, the district court left unresolved claim scope. We actually disagree. The district court...
Okay, I don't agree with you on that. Let's just proceed from that because the district court adopted what you just got up here and told me at the beginning of your argument that it included... Why not? That's exactly what he said, isn't it?
No, Your Honor. The district court said that docking port was plain ordinary meaning. It then added...
And then when you clarified at a certain point, he agreed with your language or you all stipulated... There's an agreement to that construction.
No, Your Honor. There was plain ordinary meaning, and then there was a codicil where the parties agreed it could be hardware and or hardware and software.
Which is what you just advocated to me as the proper construction.
No, that's not the proper construction to resolve. That would be the proper construction if Roku had not been allowed to go into court and
say... Okay, so you're talking about this wired or wireless connection.
You
think that's the proper construction?
Yes.
Where in the record... Did you propose that construction to the district court and he rejected it?
At the Markman. At the Markman, we proposed plain ordinary meaning, or if the court thought it was necessary.
Well, you're the one that proposed plain and ordinary meaning. You didn't propose this construction you're now advocating.
We did.
After the Markman,
we did.
Where did you again propose it?
We proposed plain ordinary meaning, or if the court thought a construction was necessary, we proposed an alternative construction at the Markman. So we said, look, Your Honor.
I don't care what you did at the Markman. Where did you propose it again? And he rejected it.
During Daubert, we filed a Daubert to preclude the argument that it was exclusive that you had to have a physical connection between the mobile set-top box and the mobile device.
That doesn't that sound like specifically proposing a rejected. Claim construction. That sounds like filing a Daubert motion against their testimony.
Yes, because it went outside the claim construction order. You have to also remember, Your Honor, that we filed a motion in limine at the pretrial level precluding Roku from arguing outside of the pretrial
order. I don't disagree with you that there's a lot of testimony that went in here that shouldn't have went in.
Yes, Your Honor.
This does not seem like an O2 micro issue, though. It seems like an evidentiary issue.
It is both, we believe. It is both.
Why aren't you arguing that the district court abused its discretion in allowing this testimony?
We did argue that as well, Your Honor. We've argued, one, that it was an O2 micro
issue. I know, but you didn't get up here and present that as your main argument.
Well, I'm prepared to go to that second after the question, Your Honor.
Before you sit down, let me just tell you where I am. This case was tried to the jury. We've all been talking about the docking port limitation, right? That's been the entire conversation. My understanding was the defendant said there are two or three other limitations in the claim that our product doesn't meet. And they had testimony by experts to that effect. So, and the jury, regardless of what the jury found on docking port, regardless of whether there was error, O2 micro or otherwise, it seems to me there are independent grounds to support the jury verdict. That is to say, the other limitations that were argued as not being met by the accused product. In the motion for the new trial, your adversaries opposed the motion for a new trial alternatively on the ground that the jury verdict was perfectly sustainable on these other limitations. In that, in your response to that argument, you didn't counter that. So in front of the district court judge, when the district court judge was looking at your motion for a new trial, the district court says to himself, I don't have to worry about error on the docking port, because there are at least two, if not three, other limitations that the defendant said were not met, argued that to the jury, and you did not contest that at all. The same argument is made here on appeal that there's an alternative ground to affirm that totally elides the entire discussion of docking port, that is to say the limitations that were said to the jury not to infringe, and you didn't object, and you haven't objected in this court. So for my money, I don't need to worry about the docking port because there were independent grounds for sustaining the jury verdict. When you have a black box verdict, our job is to decide whether the verdict is sustainable.
Your Honor,
so what's your response to that? You didn't have any response in your brief, in your reply brief at all to an alternative argument.
Your Honor, I think we did, but first...
No, you didn't. Show me in your gray brief where there's one word that deals with this alternative argument. And
well, Your Honor, I think on slide reply brief, on the reply brief, pages 7 through 10, Your Honor, we talk about...
7 to 10?
Yes, Your Honor, we talk about, one, that docking port is found in all the claims. So the term docking port is in all the claims. Television signal is not found in all the claims. Moreover, Roku's experts spent twice as much time on the docking port.
There is one limitation that's in all the claims.
And that's docking port.
No, there's another one.
Television signal is not in all the asserted claims. Mobile set-top box is in all the asserted claims, but that was not the central issue. Docking port was in all the asserted claims. Television signal was not. Roku's experts spent twice as much time on docking port as the other claims, the other claim terms. It was front and center. To respond to Judge Hughes's point, I want to make sure. We believe that the district court abused its discretion in refusing to enforce its orders and allowing for the very thing that proper claim construction was supposed to prevent, which was a running gun battle over claim construction during trial. The jury was set adrift because of COVID and the pandemic. Many arguments that were not supposed to be put in front of the jury about what the claim scope was, the very argument that discussion I had with Judge Hughes regarding this, that played out in front of the jury because of the pandemic and because of the court's procedures to try to keep us safe. But this same colloquy, which we think infected the entire proceeding, played out in front of the jury, and that is what Markman is supposed to prevent. And we believe the docking port was the very first thing that they said in their opening statement, Judge Clevenger. They said, we don't have a docking port because a physical connection is required between a mobile device and the mobile set-top box.
Okay.
Claims 21 and 53 belied that. Claim scope was implicated. We think we deserve a new trial, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Counselor. We've got your arguments. You're way over your rebuttal time, but I'll give you back some time later on, okay?
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
Mr. Unikowski.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. District Court did not commit any reversible error.
I'm going to ask you to speak up just a little bit, okay?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. The District Court did not commit any reversible error that warrants overturning the jury verdict in this case. Therefore, the judgment of the District Court should be affirmed.
Could you just clarify right away whether I'm off base? Because I was suggesting there was an alternative ground here. I saw that in your brief, but the argument was that docking port is the only limitation that is in all the claims. Is your adversary correct on that?
No, you are not off base. You're correct, Your Honor. We made other arguments. For instance, multicast is a limitation that appears throughout the claims.
Which is it?
Multicast versus unicast. That's an argument. We raise it in our brief as independent ground supporting the verdict.
So is there any other limitation that's in all the claims that you can point
yes,
to?
Yes, I believe authenticating the validity of a user
that's
is,
right.
in, all
is that in all the claims.
Is that in all the claims? I believe it is, yes, Your Honor.
You believe or you know?
I'm sorry?
You believe or you know?
No, it is, yes, Your Honor.
So he's
and
wrong.
So these are all independent grounds.
Yeah, because I thought authenticating was in all the claims.
Yes. And so those are independent grounds to affirm the verdict.
And there's evidence that you don't authenticate in the way required by the patent?
Yes, Your Honor. We think that, you know, yes, we submitted evidence on both of those claim limitations. We don't think that there's a multicast here because every signal goes to only one user of the Roku device. And we don't authenticate the validity of the user. We authenticate maybe a device, but that's different from authenticating the user. The Roku device doesn't know what user is using
it. And what evidence is that in your expert report? Or?
Yes, we presented testimony at trial on this. It's described at the end of our brief. So, yes, we had multiple independent grounds to uphold the jury verdict, independent of the ones that are litigated. I'd also point out that on television signal and mobile set-top box, it's extremely unlikely that the asserted errors would have affected the verdict because those were only non-infringement arguments for one set of accused devices, the Roku players, but there was non-infringement for both sets of accused devices, so it's extremely unlikely.
I mean, even if we agree with you on television signal, though, which I tend to think I do, that isn't in at least one of these claims, right?
That's right. Mobile set-top box is in every claim, however. But yes, television signal is not, and the jury found non-infringement on every asserted claim.
Right. I'm just, in terms of this alternative ground, we can't look to television signal to support the entire jury verdict because there's one claim that doesn't have it.
Right, but mobile set-top box, it does appear in every claim. So that
doesn't mobile set-top box kind of bring back in the docking port issue?
No, it doesn't. That brings in potentially the television signal issue. That's totally independent of docking port. And as we say at the end of our briefs, there's other totally independent grounds to uphold this jury verdict.
The multicast and
obvious. Yes, and authenticating the validity of a user. There's a chart at the front of our brief which summarizes. So those are the ones we raised in our brief. I think those are the clearest and cleanest arguments because they apply to all the claims and all the products. But there's a chart at the front of our brief listing all of our non-infringement arguments, all of which were supported by expert testimony at the trial.
I asked counsel on the other side several questions concerning when did they object to the construction that was at play during the trial. And he pointed to different parts of the record. Is it your view that objections were made to the construction during that time?
They were not made. This argument is waived. MV3 Partners got the exact claim constructions it advocated for at the Markman hearing, and it never wavered from those constructions. It felt like it won at the Markman hearing. The judge did exactly what it asked it to do. Now, it's true that MV3 Partners filed a Daubert motion, but as this court has held, that's very different from objecting to a claim construction. In a way, it's the opposite argument. The Daubert motion is presuming that the claim constructions are complete and correct and merely asking the testimony to conform to those presumptively complete and correct constructions, which is quite different from saying that the constructions themselves are wrong or incomplete.
And just to clarify, is the construction they got that you think is the one they wanted, that it can be done through hardware and software?
That's right. So they advocated plain and ordinary meaning, and the judge gave that to them over our objection. And then there's this discussions back and forth at the Markman hearing over the hardware and software. And the parties agreed, because it was actually Roku that raised what we thought was a latent ambiguity in the claim construction, or in the absence of a claim construction, and then the party stipulated, and the court agreed to add that to the Markman order, and then the jury was instructed on that.
Did they ever argue, because it seems to me the whole, I don't frankly understand the hardware and software construction, because the heart of this seems to me to be whether the mobile device can connect wirelessly or it has to be a physical connection.
Right, so we think it has to be a physical connection. And that was the point of raising this point at the Markman hearing. You can see in the transcript of the Markman hearing that Roku's lawyer... I'm sorry?
So your view is they never specifically advocated for the wireless? I mean, he says they did it in the alternative. I'm a little confused about that. If your main construction is plain language and you get what you want, then you can't complain later. Usually.
Right, exactly. And they certainly didn't. In fact, they doubled down on that. They kept asking the court to stick to its constructions on every issue and decline and prevent us from allegedly presenting evidence conflicting with that. And I think it's quite easy to see why the court distinguishes between an O2 micro objection asking the court to construe the claim and a kind of Daubert motion asking the court to exclude testimony. The strategic considerations are quite different. If you file a Daubert motion or ask to exclude testimony, there's really only upside for the movement, because if you win, the other side can't present testimony, and if you lose, you're sort of back to where you were. Whereas when you ask the court to construe a claim, that's a real strategic decision, because if the court says, okay, then maybe you'll get a claim construction you don't like. And so, you know, in this case, strategically, MV3 Partners got the claim constructions it asked for, either plain and ordinary meaning or the construction of this mobile set-top box that it asked for, and it never wavered from that. It was very happy with those constructions.
So let me just ask you, like, yes. The hardware connection, only through hardware seems like it definitely requires a physical connection.
Yes.
Hardware with software, that still seems like there's a point of disagreement there about whether it requires a physical connection or not. But there was never any further argument that that could be completely wireless.
So we don't
in
think
in terms of claim construction. In your view,
so when we, so I have to say that when we asked the court to have this stipulation, the point of this was to ensure that it wasn't both wired and wireless. You can see in the transcript of the Markman hearing, Roku's counsel said that MV3 Partners is asking for both wired and wireless, which is contradicted by the language of the claims. So the point of our asking for both hardware and or hardware and software was to exclude the wireless embodiment that MV3 Partners was accusing of infringement. That's why we had this dialogue. That's why I don't think we can be accused of misconduct by the testimony presented at trial. From our perspective, the whole point of this colloquy at the Markman hearing was to allow us to present this very testimony at trial. And MV3 Partners didn't object.
If the dispute was about wired versus wireless, one would expect that to be explicitly discussed somewhere, and I didn't see it. Maybe your friend can point to it.
Well, at the Markman hearing, let me just read off the transcript of the Markman hearing. It's at 11:30, I believe it is. So Roku's counsel says, there is this dispute again starting here. MV3 is arguing that a docking port, as it exists in the claims, is software or hardware used for communication between the mobile set-top box and the mobile computing device. That's at the top of 11:30. And then he says, okay, this argument is absolutely contradicted by the language in the claims themselves. And then you'll see at lines 20 to 23 of the transcript of the Markman hearing, he says, now, if you look at exactly what each of those components does, it is clear that the docking port cannot be something that involves a wired or wireless connection. So that's the argument he was making to the court at the Markman hearing. From our perspective, that was the whole point of this stipulation. So we weren't committing misconduct. The argument that Dr. Russ made was, from our perspective, exactly what we stipulated that we should be able to make at the Markman hearing. But I think this illustrates the benefit of the contemporaneous objection rule, because what MV3 Partners is essentially saying is that Roku committed misconduct because the judge made some kind of implicit statement, this oblique statement in a colloquy at the Markman hearing that didn't even make it into the Markman order, that we were somehow violating. But we had no idea that MV3 Partners had this perspective until after the jury returned its verdict. So I don't think we can be accused of misconduct based on some interpretation of the Markman transcript that MV3 Partners never even presented to the district judge.
Counsel on the other side has argued that they made timely objections during the trial, But there's some problem with the slides, I guess.
No, Your Honor, that is simply incorrect. I mean, I'd urge the court to just look at the colloquy that's been cited to the court. So most of that colloquy was a discussion as with respect to the slideshow as a whole. There was something like over 100 slides. And there's a very general objection from MB3 Partners Council saying something like, a lot of these slides are really bad because they go against the Markman hearing. So we urge you to conform the slides to the Markman hearing. And the judge is very reasonable on this. What the judge says is, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to rule on 100 slides right now. So you're not going to, telling us, Roku, you don't publish the slides to the jury until I've had a chance to see them, and then MV3 Partners has had a chance to object. So I'll even point you to the place in the transcript. It's at page 6236 of the joint appendix, where the judge offers this guidance as to how it's going to proceed on this. It says, the court, this is at line 18, 6236, the court, okay, when Dr. Russ is on the stand, you can say, I intend to discuss slide number 10. I will turn to slide number 10. Make sure your folks don't put it up. The defendant can decide whether or not to object. If the defendant objects, I'll hear the objections. I've been through all of them, and whoever's putting Dr. Russ on can respond as to why it's not objectionable. So the judge is saying, you have every chance in the world to object to the slide if you don't agree with it. So this is not a general objection to the slides as a whole, followed by an instruction by the judge that if you have a specific slide you don't like, you have to object to that slide. That's not preserving anything. And then you get to the testimony of Dr. Russ. First of all, there is definitely nothing even approaching a request to construe the claim or alter the claim construction. Not during Dr. Russ's testimony, not during the claim construction, not during the jury charge conference. Obviously, because MV3 Partners won from its perspective at the Markman hearing. It got plain and ordinary meaning. That's exactly what it wanted. And so, of course, it didn't want the judge to change the claim construction. It was perfectly happy with what it got.
Are you aware, I know I kind of asked this and you kind of answered it, but I looked at what you said and didn't resolve it for me. Did they ever specifically ask for a claim construction that said a docking port, the connection between the mobile device and the docking port can be wired or wireless?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the claim construction that's quoted in the brief was the claim that I think Your Honor quoted during the opening argument. That was the claim construction that they asked for. I don't think that their claim construction, cleared up the alleged ambiguity that is being raised here. But I don't think the court even needs
the hardware or the hardware versus software.
Right.
I don't think it cleared it up either, which seems to be a little bit of the problem in some sense, that if that's now the heart of the case, that should have been asked for. But again, I don't ever see that being explicitly asked for. It was asked for maybe an alternative to plain and ordinary meaning. But I don't understand how that's good enough.
I agree, Your Honor. I mean, I think that the easiest way to resolve this case is to simply say that when you ask for plain and ordinary meaning and you get it, then you can't assert it's an invited error in some sense. You can't assert that the district court erred in doing exactly what you asked the district court to do.
Well, I guess you could if you began to make timely objections to any type of construction that the judge is embarking on.
Sure. So I think there is certainly a class of cases in which, an expert report is served and suddenly the parties realize that there's this latent ambiguity in the construction. Maybe they didn't realize it at the Markman hearing. That happens sometimes. And then you can say, okay, Your Honor, look, there's this ambiguity in the constructions we didn't realize before expert reports. Now we know. Please go ahead and construe the claims. That's fine. I think the judge has a duty to entertain that kind of motion. But the exact opposite thing happened in this case. We served our expert report many months before trial, and then MV3 Partners made the opposite argument. They said, Your Honor, you should stick to your claim constructions that you've already rendered and exclude testimony that allegedly conflicted with the claim constructions.
And the ambiguity that we have here now is back to that you think the connection has to be physical somehow. So it excludes a total wireless connection.
Yeah,
they think it can be wired or wireless. But
yes, that's the dispute.
That dispute, was that ever explicitly raised to the district court?
No.
At any time?
The claim construction dispute, no, certainly not by MV3 Partners. I mean, I have to say, looking at this claim, I think maybe one reason the district judge said that offered a plain and ordinary meaning construction is I just think it's clear. I mean, it says a docking port configured to accept a mobile computing device. That sounds like a thing. Something docks and it accepts the device, right? That sounds like the device is stuck to it. I understand that opposing counsel talked about wired and wireless embodiments, but the wireless embodiments come from a different claim limitation. the mobile device input that receives the media content, which is the limitation below docking port. You can see in Romanet I of the opening brief. So that can be wired or wireless. We're not saying that wireless embodiments are excluded. We're simply saying that the docking port limitation has to be a physical connection. And I think an ordinary English speaker would say a docking port configured to accept a mobile computing device is a physical
thing. Seems to be a reasonable reading of docking port. Yes. And if a different construction had been needed, it should have been explicitly proposed.
I agree, Your Honor, with that. I see my time has expired. If there's any other questions.
You're right on time. Any other questions from my colleagues? No, thank you. Okay, we thank you. Mr. Waldrop, we'll restore you to 3 minutes.
Just before you start, what about authenticating the validity of the user limitation?
Yes, Your Honor. MV3 presented evidence of infringement of all those elements at trial, Your Honor, and Roku highlighted in closing argument.
Right, but I mean that if the jury found no infringement on that limitation, that covers it all, right?
Yes, Your Honor. For all,
I mean, your response to my alternative argument theory that there were other grounds on which the jury could have found non-infringement. You said, well, there's no limitation that applies to all the patents or all the claims. Authenticating the validity of the user does.
Your Honor, but that was not the. Yes, Your Honor. You're correct, right. Your Honor. But okay. That was not the issue that there was an O2 micro issue dispute over. And that
no,
was
I understand that. I understand. But I'm just trying to get in my head the O2 micro issue, the claim construction issue, the Daubert issue, as I think this oral argument has proved, is very confusing as to what your argument is, what the other side's argument is, what was the judge's role in trying to make certain that there was clarity as to whether or not there could be a wireless connection. Seems to me like that's where it all boiled down. And all I was saying was, being perhaps a little more simple-minded, it looked to me like there was an alternative ground to support the verdict, which was that your adversary argued to the jury that the authenticating the validity of the user limitation was not met. You argued to the contrary. The jury could have found against you and found in favor of Roku on that issue. And if they had done so, then the verdict would be sustainable, even if there had been error with regard to the docking station.
Your Honor, we will never know that, Your Honor.
You don't need to know that with a general verdict. Our job is to decide on the motion for the new trial whether the jury verdict was sustainable.
What?
And what I'm saying is that, and there's a body of law in the circuit as well as here that says just that. And that argument was made to the district court judge against your motion for a new trial, saying, you don't have to worry about potential error on this complicated issue because there's a ground here that the jury very well could have found infringement on and non-infringement on, and that takes care of the verdict.
What we're seeking, Your Honor, is a less drastic measure than throwing out the jury verdict.
Excuse me?
We're seeking a less drastic measure than throwing out the jury verdict. We're seeking out a measure by which we have a fair trial in which
proper claims go. Well, you're asking for a new trial.
Yes, Your Honor.
But why do you need a new trial when the jury very well had before it evidence on which it can find non-infringement of the authenticating the validity of the user limitation?
Because, Your Honor, we don't know if that was actually
you never
what
they know
found
that in a black box verdict. That's the risk you take when you don't get specific verdicts.
It is a black box.
You don't ask for a specific verdict to say, well, is there infringement of this limitation, this limitation, this limitation.
Your Honor, but we do know that there was confusion over just the docking port, and we do know that that was an issue that played out in front of the jury. We do know
Counselor,
that there was jury confusion on that.
If you know there's confusion, why did you decide not to seek a supplemental construction on that particular issue, on the wired or wireless for the docking port?
Because the court has specifically rejected the interface, physical interface construction proposed by Roku.
Well, then were you relying on the Daubert and the MIL move?
No, Your Honor. We had a Markman ruling where the court said, I'm uncomfortable with a physical interface. I'm not comfortable with Roku's construction of a physical interface. Rejected it at the Markman. That should have been the end of it. But Roku continued and recast it as a physical connection, a physical interface, and made it exclusive, and read out claims 21 and 53, which require wireless communication. So essentially, they said, look, those claims don't matter, even though they asserted. That is just error. I mean,
okay. But you didn't ask for specifically wired or wireless.
We did. With docking port, we asked for plain, ordinary meaning.
No. You can stop saying that. You asked for plain and ordinary meaning. You can't now go back and say, well, we were wrong. You should have adopted our alternative construction. After the confusion arose, you never said, look, there's confusion over wired or wireless. Give us a claim construction that includes wireless. Is there anything in the record that specifically says, in those words, I want a claim construction that includes wired and wireless?
Yes, Your Honor. We presented evidence in our infringement case where our experts said that there was
wireless. Did you ever tell the district court, there's confusion, I want a claim construction that includes wired and wireless? Where in the transcript
Even better than that, we said we wanted a construction that prevented Roku from arguing physical connection, which had been rejected.
What I want is, did you say specifically to the district court, there's confusion, the construction should be wired or wireless?
Yes, Your Honor. We said in the colloquy that the construction, we have claims 21 and 53, which allow for wireless communication. That is in the record, that is in the colloquy. We said they're meeting our claim scope.
We'll figure it out.
We said specifically that if you allow Roku to present this argument, you will preclude claims 21 and 53 from being applied, and those allow for wired and wireless communication. That was specifically argued about at trial, presented at trial. It was front and center. And if this is allowed to stand, claim scope was precluded. They allow for the claims that were asserted to be abrogated, not included before the jury, because it can only be a physical connection.
I believe we have your argument.
That is improper. Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for the argument.